I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dwight Gooden stepping into the studio. Hello, Dwight.
How you doing, buddy?
Jake Chapman.
Pleasure to meet you, Dwight.
See, this is live radio here. Guys walk in. We put him in headphones. He takes his hat off. He gets all good to go.
Got the AC going in here.
Doc, good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Move your microphone up there for us.
I'm out of shape. I'm fat, and I had a little walk.
You're fat?
Oh, it's just steaming in here.
Wish I was looking like you.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. Everything's well. Excited. Should be a fun time.
Nice.
Always good to come through. Oh, sorry, Vince.
Yeah, it's good to have you back in Cleveland.
Yes, sir. It's good to be back. I haven't been here since 99.
No kidding. You haven't been back?
I haven't been back. It's a great city. Just haven't had the opportunity to get back. And obviously, when Cleveland was doing well, it was excitement time. And
yeah.
Just never made it back. But it's good to be back now.
When'd you get into town?
Yesterday.
Just today?
How about yesterday?
How much has downtown changed in the last 20 years? Or how about since you first started coming here at the beginning of your playing days?
Oh, exactly. I came here with the Yankees in 96 for the first time.
Right.
And then when I played here in 98, 99, and then I guess, 20-some years later, coming here, unbelievable. Hmm. It's great to see, though. It's great people here. The fans have always been great, and they deserve it.
What are you up to these days?
Nothing much. I spend a lot of time with my kids, grandkids, the younger ones.
Grandkids?
Grandkids.
You're not old enough.
Six grandkids.
Come on, man.
So I can never truly retire.
You're not old enough.
They keep you busy, but it's fun. You know, it's fun. And just enjoying life. And I'm just starting this agency, the PY Sports, to represent players.
Nice.
So we're doing a little bit of that now. Mostly my son's doing it. I'm just more of an advisor. But fun stuff. Just trying to have, you know, a lot of fun and excitement in some way.
That's awesome. You mentioned when you played here for the Indians. And you're so attached to New York. All right, first the Mets and then the Yankees, of course. So you're so attached to New York. I think some people might forget that you were here on two really good teams, 1998, 1999, right. Played for Mike Hargrove. John Hart was here.
Yes.
Kind of, you know, a little bit after some of the great stuff that happened here.
Yes.
But you guys were still pretty darn good.
Well, they had great teams. And a lot of times I mentioned to the fans, they'd say, oh, you played the Cleveland. Yeah, 1999. Unfortunately, I was at the end of my career. I didn't really have much left. And before the offensive team, those 2 years, best offensive I've ever been on.
Really?
No disrespect to the Yankee teams or Met teams. But
no kid.
I mean, the lineup that we had, and the offense that we had, I mean, you had Manny Ramirez, who was having 100 RBIs before the All-Star break. Yeah, Jim Tomey,
Travis Fryman, the Alomar brothers, Kenan Lofton, David Justice. I mean, you go on and on and on. Just unfortunately, the pitching was a little short. Bartolo Colon was in his prime. He was good. Jerry Wright, Charles Nagy was towards the end. I was towards the end. Chad O'Jay was okay, but at that time, the offense we had was incredible. Every game was sold out. I mean, just a great time, great city. So I'm so happy to see him doing great things.
It might
now
be a little bit different because you were so dominant when you first broke onto the scene. But what about Jarrett at that time? And I don't think people remember just what a phenomenon and how good he was when he first broke out. Do you remember sort of drawing those parallels at all, or telling him anything at that point in time?
I think the main thing, Jarrett Wright, when he came into his own, pitching great. I mean, he had an unbelievable fastball, great breaking ball. And he worked hard. And the thing I liked about Jerry, he wasn't afraid to throw inside for a young pitcher. Mm-hmm. Main thing I was telling him, just understand that each guy you face, go at your strength. Until the hitter shows you, you make the adjustment, and then you do it. Don't worry so much about the scout reports. Scout reports is good, but pitch to your strength. Because a lot of times I think with young pitchers, you get hurt by worrying about what you can't throw guys, what pitches you're taught to attack. And I think a lot of times that works against you. But Jared had tremendous talent. Unfortunately, I think he had some injuries along the way.
Yep.
They kind of shortened his career a little bit. But just an unbelievable talent coming up and a fun guy.
Doc Gooden joining us. That 98 team, the 99 team, it's interesting. You said it's the best offensive team you're ever on. The thing that kind of stunned me, maybe, Doc, during that time was how John Hart was able to reload a great offense. You know, because he had Albert and Kenny and Carlos Baerga. And then by the time you get here, it's Manny stepping up. They make the trade for David Justice to get Travis Fryman. Brian Giles comes up through the organization. And it was weird that they were able to rebuild such a great offense in a pretty short period of time. And just, I guess, not even rebuild, just kind of continue it.
John Hart was a genius. And it's funny, I met John Hart my junior in high school. I was in Tampa.
Yeah, he was
I was at Hillsborough High School. Yeah. At Orlando Boone High School. And they beat us for the state finals, 1-0.
Wow.
And he never lets me leave that down to the end. And then in the minor leagues, he was with the Orioles, I think,
yeah,
in Bluefield. And so I played against John all the way up, and then to get in there, worked with him with the Cleveland, and then watched him go from organization to organization, from Cleveland, went to Texas, Atlanta. I mean, he built all these teams up. I mean, he had, I don't understand why, if I'm an organization, why I wouldn't keep a guy like that in my system to help me, you know, to keep my organization going and keep my organization strong, because everywhere he goes, he builds the organizations up. Even the minor league system is just a tremendous guy, tremendous baseball guy with a lot of knowledge. And just, you know, he knows what he's doing.
Did he know pitching?
He knew pitching. I think hitting was his thing. But if you look at this, the teams he's been with, where he's built the farm system up, and he stocked them with pitching.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this guy, he knows baseball. He lives, eats, and dreams baseball. And, I mean, if I'm running an organization, he would definitely be the guy I would call.
You know, mentioned the offense when you were here. But when you were with New York and you were facing those guys, the 95 team, for instance.
Yes.
We were talking before. Mike Hargrove compared him to the 27 Yankees. I mean, he said, I think my offense in 95 was just about as good. Maybe not the star power and the big names, but what was it like pitching against those guys?
Oh, that was tough. You had to be definitely on top of your game. And like you said, back then, it was Eddie Murray, Albert Bell, Barriga, and those guys. You got
Manny and Tomy at the bottom of the lineup.
Yes. I mean, Manny was hitting eighth, I think, on that team.
Yes.
I mean, that's scary. And, you know, as a pitcher, there's no room to breathe. And a guy like myself coming from the National League all these years, and now I was with the Yankees, face those guys, and then those ballparks at Yankee Stadium, and then at this time it was the Jake, now I know it's Progressive Field.
Right.
You had no room for error. Each guy, there's nobody you could pitch around. It was very tough.
Dwight Gooden joining us. And, Doc, it's great to have you with us. I think people might forget, you were 19 years old when you came up with the Mets, and just didn't come up with the Mets, 17-9. Next year at the age of 20, you went 24-4. First of all, that's a phenomenal thing to accomplish at a young age. But to accomplish it in New York comes with I can't even imagine what a young teenage kid was thinking as you're in the majors in New York and lighting it on fire. How rewarding was that? How difficult was that?
It's difficult. That's a great question, because like my first year wasn't really too much expectations, and unfortunately by the time I got to the All-Star break and made the All-Star team, then the expectations came. And first year, it was like a kid coming out of high school living a dream. You're playing against guys that you once idolized in your backyard. And I remember after the 85 season, going into the 86 season, where I beat Fernando Valenzuela 3-0, but I only had 3 strikeouts. And the first question was, what happened? You only had 3 strikeouts.
Wow.
And I remember
– Like something was wrong.
Yeah. And I remember things got really tougher. Going through the first few years was, I wouldn't say easy, but it was easier to deal with because I had no expectation. I was going out having fun. But after that, when the expectations came from the media – the fans, the team, myself. Then it got tough. The game, I lost the fun of the game for a little while. I must admit that, because I was trying to strike out 10 guys.
While you were with the Mets?
While I was with the Mets. Because every game you're trying to pitch a complete game, you're trying to pitch a shutout, you're trying to get 10 strikeouts, and it just wasn't impossible to do. And I lost the fun, and I had to get back to the bases. That the reason why I was here and why I wanted to be here was just to play a long time and be, you know, successful and be healthy. But you're right, it was a difficult time doing that in New York at a young age because of expectations.
What do you think of the state of the game now?
It's different. I still love the game. I'm still a big fan of the game. I still have the MLB package where I get all the games. But I think there's a lot of changes being made in the game. It's been coming too commercial for me. And the main thing I mean by being a pitcher, I might be a little biased, but the pitch counts, the inning limits, all that kind of stuff. I think it takes a toll on pitchers. I think it does too much more damage to pitchers than hurting guys.
Do you really?
I do. And the reason I say that is because it's just my opinion. You go back to spring training, you're training your body to pitch, I don't know, 9 innings. To get your body up to 120 pitches. But then during the course of the season, young guys, they'll take you out of the rotation for a couple of starts. They say, oh, we got pitching limits. We don't want to pitch too much. But then you're not training for that. So now you sit a guy down for a week or two and you put him back in. Now that you hadn't trained for that, obviously you're going to break down.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just too much for guys. I think it's too much with the computers as opposed to going back to what you actually see.
I had the pleasure of talking many times with Bob Feller, and I'm sure you did when you were here. And he used to say the same thing. He said, guys don't throw enough. He said, between starts and when they're pitching in the game, guys just don't throw enough. Do you believe that?
I agree with that. I think it's throwing, you don't have to really be mic'd out, but just throwing. I know my career, we did a lot of long toss, and during the offseason, the trainers wrote your offseason program. It wasn't the individual strength coaches or what have you. And then plus, you're training for your position. What I mean by that, these guys now, they're bigger and stronger. And they're throwing harder, but they're all breaking down because they're not, the mechanics are off. They're not training for the position. And I think they're not throwing enough. I think they're throwing less, and they get hurt more. And like I said, it's a difference between throwing 100 pitches in 3 innings opposed to 100 pitches in 7 innings. Hmm.
pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Have fun. Stay cool.
Good luck. Hey, you're from Florida. You shouldn't be sweating here.
Yeah,
come on, man.
I had no choice when I lived in Florida.
Thank you. Great to meet you, Doc. You
Doc, thank you very much. Doc Gooden, back in town for the first time since 99. That's outstanding. That's fun.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.